Nobody covers dog sledding like Mushing from First Paw Media. Our team of athletes, volunteers, race organizers, and mushers like Robert and Michelle Forto brings you closer to the sport. If it's happening, we are there. Live from the qualifying races in January and February, the Iditarod in March, and in the summer, Mushing takes you on the road with our team and trail tour. We connect you with a history of the sport, in-depth interviews with the top mushers, and great storytelling and breaking news all year long. Follow on mushing.com.
Hey guys, welcome to the Mushing Podcast. I'm excited to talk to you guys. Today we have Greg and Jen calling in from British Columbia in Canada. We're going to start off with Jen. Jen, how are you this evening? Can you tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're all about, please?
Hi, I'm Jen. So I got started with mushing 2 winters ago. I got started with my Australian Shepherd just doing canicross and bike drawing, that sort of thing, and kind of snowballed from there.
All right. And did you meet Greg in the mushing scene, or did you guys know each other beforehand or what?
I did meet him up while I was in Yellowknife.
Okay. So we're going to jump into that in a little while. So, Greg, thank you for joining us today. Tell us a bit about yourself, please.
Greg, I got into the mushing world, I would like to say early 2000s, but I didn't really start running dogs until 5 or 6 years ago now. I've had an opportunity to work for tour kennels and some high-end mushers as well, and it kind of took off from there.
All right. And we're going to talk a lot about that as well. You got some, big names in the sport that you've worked with, and I'm excited to do that. But let's go back to Jen. How did you get involved with canicross and ski drawing? What is sort of the lead up to that? What did you do as a kid, that sort of thing? How did you get introduced to those sports?
I was introduced through, just having a high energy dog that needed lots of exercise. She's an Australian Shepherd. And I guess just from looking on the internet, I've done quite a few different dog sports with her. And I met someone through a Facebook group, and she did a lot of canicross and ski drawing with her German short hair pointers. And so I went on a couple ski drawer sessions with her, and then from there kind of graduated into doing the bike drawing and eventually going up to Yellowknife to try bigger team tours.
So as this was leading up, Jen, were you always in BC? Did you live somewhere else? Where did you grow up?
BC for the most part. When I was younger, I did grow up in Alberta, rural Alberta, for a little bit till about 12.
So, Greg, you had said that you met Jen up in Yellowknife. For folks that are listening around the world, Yellowknife is about as far away as you can get from a big city anywhere. I mean, it is way up there. You think Alaska is in the middle of nowhere. That is really in the middle of nowhere. So let's lead up to that. What did you do growing up, and what were you doing up there?
Funny enough, I grew up in Southern Ontario. I was probably about 2 hours west of Toronto. I was lucky enough to grow up and have a family that kind of did the whole outdoor thing, the camping, the fishing, that kind of stuff. And then when I was, it probably would have been like 2005, I moved out to Alberta. I was working out there, and then was kind of on to the next adventure, and I was always wanting to do more dog stuff. And Grant Beck happened to have an opportunity up there.
So there you guys are. I assume you're up there for a race, and folks that have been in the scene know what happens during the races. There's a little bit of mushing, a little bit of partying, a little bit of hanging out. So you guys made the connection up there, and I guess the rest is history, as they say.
Pretty well. We were actually both working at a different tour kennel up there at the time, and that was kind of how we met.
So Jen, since you are the elder in terms of mushing, were you teaching Greg, a thing or two, or how'd that work out for you?
I definitely think it was the opposite way around. I did lots of ski joring and canicross for like the 5 years, but as far as doing any big team stuff, when I met Greg, I was completely green.
Okay. All right. So now we have a lot of background out of the way. Let's jump forward a little bit. And I'm sure it's been a few years now that that you've been at that point in your life to where you're at now. And I know, Greg, when you reached out to me, you had, I believe you said, some Iditarod dreams in the near future at some point. Is that correct? So let's go with you with that. What's happening right now? How many dogs do you guys have? What are you guys doing in terms of racing or training, or where are you at in your guys' mushing career?
Currently we have six at the kennel. We just kind of jumped into starting our own having our own team this past, I would say we kind of made that decision past November, December. So we've kind of been throwing not throwing dogs around, but trying to scrape around to a team. For me, it's been a big jump to kind of look at it from coming from a sprinting background, to us now looking at that starting at mid distance before we jump to long distance, and just the training aspect of how I almost have to readjust my tactics on training from looking at those like short 35 mile distances to longer, and how we almost have to start earlier on trying to bump our dogs up to that.
And that's a good qu or a good comment that you made there, Greg, because folks that are listening, they probably have a pretty good idea of the different classes, you know, the sprint classes and the long distance classes and all that. So when you said you have to make that jump, for people that may not know what that means, what does that mean for you?
I would say, from looking at it, from taking dogs and kind of running them at their like 80%, to know that, okay, our team can run at 80% for 21 miles, 30 miles, whatever it may be. To then look at it, okay, I need to dial them back to maybe like 60% and see, let's try to get to that 50-mile mark.
Okay.
It can we run 50 miles at, I'm going to say, 60% like workload energy.
So let's go to Jen now. So we have a little bit of background about training and miles and that sort of stuff. What is your guys' setup? I'm not familiar in the town that you live in. Where is that in relation to Vancouver or somewhere like that? Where are you at on the map?
So we're about an hour and a half south of Prince George.
And what's the terrain like? What kind of snow do you guys get? That sort of thing.
So we've only been here for about 2 years, and we haven't had spent a winter here because we've gone up north. We've heard that the winters can be hit or miss as far as how much snow that they get, but there are two local races. There's the Caledonia and then the Barkerville Gold Rush Trail Run. So yeah, I think it really depends on the season for winter, but
And you guys have such a small team right now. Are you able to run right from the house there? Do you have to truck them a distance to get to training miles, or what do you have to do?
we have a bit of an acreage, so we're in the process of building some trails in, but I think for longer distances, we will have to truck them.
And what is, you talked about the two races there. I'm familiar with the Caledonia race, but what is the mushing scene like? Are there mushing neighbors? Is it pretty hit and miss if you run into a team on the trail, or what?
First moving here, I was actually quite surprised at how many mushers there are. I haven't met all of them, but there is a handful. I'd say maybe five or six of them in the area. So I know they do campouts quite often. So looking forward to if we are here for a winter to partake in some of that.
All right. So back to Greg now. Let's talk a little bit about that Caledonia race. I know you mentioned that in your email. Do you have your sights set on that? Is that a plan for you guys, or what?
So, as I'm sure right now, as you know, it's still kind of early and races are just starting to like kind of draw registration dates and like actual race dates. It would be nice for us because it would be kind of a local race to where we summer, to be able to have like family and friends and that kind of stuff that are, you know, I'm going to say that live south of where we normally are in the winter, be able to see us run. I would say it's probably in our top three of races that we're looking to do this year. It's just really tough with where we think we're going to end up this winter. It'll be a tough race to travel down to, because unfortunately, it seems like typically the Caledonia and the Yukon Quest are pretty close in time frames. From a couple mushers that I know that have kind of done both, they say that it's a pretty fast turnaround for them and for the dogs to try to make both races. So we're still kind of seeing what the calendars kind of look out like and see what kind of our own kind of circuit that we put together would make kind of the most sense for us.
And that is a great lead in. You talk about the quest. I assume you're talking about the Canadian side, the Yukon Quest itself, not the Quest Alaska. Are you planning
Yes.
on running that to on your own? Or are you going to handle, or what's the plan?
Hopefully we're going to run it our own. We anticipate having a few more dogs this winter than we currently have. I think we're going to do it. I think we're going to do the shorter one, which will be like the 175 mile race. I may try to see if I can register for both and then see kind of how our new team is kind of dialing in through the winter. But for sure, I definitely want to do the shorter of the two.
You talked about working with some big name mushers up in Yellowknife in the tour scene. And of course, I'm sure you're getting some mentorship and, of course, dogs from somewhere. Tell us a little bit about your network.
I would say kind of between the two of us, Jen and I have been kind of lucky to have some of the network that we have. I'm currently in talks with Grant Beck, trying to get some of the dogs that I still know from when I worked there approximately 2 winters ago. At the same time, we have other people, even local folks that we know that have some dogs that we're trying to get dogs kind of for now as we're building and getting our younger dogs some miles. As well as looking at dogs that I'm going to say that Jen can kind of grow with as well. So I would say, you know, we have some pretty sweet local people around. I'm going to say there's Silas Gobber. He's a young kid, but he's kind of got himself a little name going. He started 5 or 6 years ago and has kind of done a lot of the races that we're looking to do. And I'm working with him this summer, so it's been really nice to be able to chat with him. And then Jen has some more I would say more connections out here than I do personally.
So let's jump over to Jen. What does your network look like, and what are your plans? With a smaller team, it's very difficult to enter two bigger teams in those longer races. What's on your plate?
Yeah, for sure. So I'm thinking definitely all my learning will be through training runs and running the dogs, because I've never done any sprint or mid distance besides one sprint. And probably just yeah, lots of training runs. I know a couple of people in the area that I'll be able to do runs with in the fall and that sort of thing. So through the training runs.
So let's talk about your guys' dogs. You just have a handful right now, six dogs. Let's go with you, Greg. Where are these guys from? How old are they? And then we'll tell a story or two in just a second.
Absolutely. So we have Eska. Eska is a, I'm going to say she's a year and a half right now. She's probably our most up and coming dog. For taking a risk on a puppy that we didn't really know, we've invested a lot of time and she's currently, I would say, placed to be one of our lead dogs. Then we have, I'm going to say, Honey. Honey is kind of a question mark in age for us. She came from a tour kennel that we both worked for. that's had a lot of staff turnover that no one really seems to know. We think she's kind of between four and six, given her personality and such and the way she looks. Then there's Miss Siku. Siku comes to us from Viku. Viku's run the Yukon Quest a couple times with Siku. So Siku's kind of our veteran presence right now, our kind of proven distance dog. Then there's Polar. Polar's actually a litter mate of Siku. We didn't get the two of them together. It just happened to work out that those two happened to come to us. Then there is Sparky. Sparky's coming to us from Michelle Phillips and Ed. He's currently up in the White Horse area at their kennel. We're gonna pick him up on our way north. And then, well, who else is there? Hazel's our Jen's Australian Shepherd. That kind of got the whole thing going for Jen back in the day. She's no longer in harness. She's getting up there in age. But she's kind of the kennel boss for us.
Every kennel has a kennel boss. We can all think about those dogs that held that role for sure. So, Jen, Wildland Racing Kennel, what's behind the name there?
So Greg's done several years in Wildfire, so that's kind of where we got the name from. He'd probably be better at explaining why he wanted that name.
Let's go, Greg.
All right, so with my time spent in Wildfire, I kind of found from doing Wildfire and running sled dogs, just the kind of the teamwork in the organized chaos that comes with both of those things, and just seeing the power of, such a natural force of wildfire moving through trees, and just like that, like attack, and then the same kind of concept with dogs, like breaking trail, going through snow, and just like the raw power and connection of the crew and the teams that come along with that. So I
And
figured it was a really cool kind of way to blend the two worlds kind of together.
is that your day job right now as a wildland firefighter?
No, currently I am working for the BC Parks out here in
Okay.
BC.
And Jen, this is, I guess, more background, but what do you do for a living?
I'm actually doing the same thing. I'm a backcountry park operator.
So you guys are outside a lot, of course, by doing your work. And of course, with a smaller kennel, it allows you to do some other things as you build up. And you'd mentioned that you're getting ready to head north, I assume, to work at one of the tour kennels. Is that right, Jen?
Yeah, that's correct. So we're planning on heading up north in about mid-October, and we're looking to be working with Aaron Peck. I met him last season for the fall. I was just covering for one of his staff, so that's how I had met him and his dogs. I was doing karting tours with him.
And Aaron and Dan did a series during Iditarod on our network. Every night they were doing some commentary back and forth. That guy knows his stuff about Iditarod, doesn't he, Jen?
Yeah, he sure does.
Yeah. So up there in the tour world, Greg, what does that look like? Are you guys, when you think of Yellowknife in the winter, you're not thinking about, a tourism mecca. There's not a lot of folks that I would imagine go up there for, tons of people go up for a vacation. So what's the scene like?
In Yellowknife, it's actually a very large tourist destination in the winter months.
Okay.
A lot of people come up because I would argue that it's one of the best places in the world to see the Northern Lights. So we have the wintertime, there's definitely a lot of tourism in Yellowknife. On the White Horse side of things, I haven't really spent a full winter up there, so I'm not too sure, but there's quite a few very, established mushers with great names up in the Yukon. So I would assume that the tourism is kind of the same in that aspect up there.
If I'm correct, I know I think it's more of a sprint race than it is distance, but they do a pretty big race up there in that neck of the woods. Is that the La Paz race? Is that right?
In Whitehorse or Yellowknife?
In Northwest Territories there.
La Paz. It does not ring a bell for me right now. I know there was like the Canadian, I believe it was the Dog Derby Championships, the 10 dog teams.
Okay.
That was, I'm gonna say pre-COVID. It was quite the race. There is a big sprint race right now up there, run by Detta. But I'm not quite sure the name of that race because it is quite new. And for us this year, it would have happened just after the underdog race happening up north. And we unfortunately were heading back down south right
Yeah,
thereafter.
I had the organizer of the underdog. What's his name? Marcel? Is that his
Marcel, yep.
name? Yeah, excellent race. I have that in one of my top 20 races in the world. That underdog race, and I quantify that by social media presence and all of that. I got a lot of flack for putting that race on that list.
Really?
Oh yeah, but from what I hear, that's a great race to be a part of, and that's up there in that neck of the woods, right?
Yeah. To be honest, that's probably our top race this year. That will kind of be our, given the time of year and such, that will probably be our season wrap up race. Both Jen and I were at the banquet last year. I think we personally know probably 6 or 7 out of the 13 mushers that were in it. So it was really cool. Even though we weren't racing last year, it was really cool to kind of just be around a bunch of the people that we know running and get to be around for the start line and go to the banquet and all that fun stuff.
Excellent. So, Jen, before we end our podcast here today, I always like to end on a story about one of your dogs. And I know you have just a handful to pick from, but I would love to hear a story from you, and then we will go with Greg before we go. So, set the scene for us. What dog do you want to talk about? Describe them a little bit, maybe some characteristics, and then maybe a story or two.
Yeah, sure. So the first dog that comes to mind for me is Eska, because she was my first sled dog. I got her from the tour operation that I was working at, and she was my first Alaskan Husky, first Husky puppy in general. When I got Hazel, she was already 2, so wasn't too sure with raising puppies how that was gonna go, but. She ended up being great. She was a lot easier raising than I thought she was gonna be, and now she's turning into this nice potential leader that we have. Who's super sassy and lots of personality.
So you said she's an Alaskan Husky. Describe her looks. Is she kind of that prototypical Husky look with the pointed ears and the scruffy tail and the kind of woolly looking coat, or what?
Yeah, pretty well. Yeah, she's looks like that classic Alaskan Husky for sure.
And do you have a quick story about Eska? Something that you guys have encountered on the trail? Something that she does on the team? Something like that?
Yeah, I mean she's quite the presence in the team. She's always pretty loud and ready to go. It was really fun once she got a little bit older to start running her in the tour team, just watching her kind of progress as she got older. And then the first time I tried her up in lead, it was really exciting for me to see her progress to that. And yeah.
All right. So, Greg, you cannot pick Eska. You have to pick somebody else. Describe who you're going to talk about.
I think I'm gonna pick our kind of silly boy Polar on our crew. Polar came to us not too long ago. I want to say about 2 months ago. Polar was actually he was put up from a rescue organization. And he's had quite the adventure in his life. He had been up in the NWT at one point. He then ran some tours in the Yukon, and then he became a house dog for 2 years. And he was down in southern Ontario, and I guess he just wasn't enjoying it a whole lot. So he came up to us, and one of the big things we were told about Polar when we were chatting with them about bringing him on was that he didn't like men, that Poehler was not a biggest fan of men. And I kind of took that as a challenge. And I was like, Poehler and I are going to become besties going forward. And when we picked him up from the airport, it was pretty clear that I was not the favorite at the moment. So I just started to bring Poehler with me. I'd take him in the truck, and kind of from our first truck ride, he was hanging out in the passenger seat, and then he just kind of laid down and it was like creeping his way over. And then he put his head in my lap, and I knew from there on that Poehler and I were going to be doing well.
Excellent. And is he in the team now? You said he was a tour dog, then he kind of became a house dog. Where is he
Yeah.
set as a sled dog today?
I currently with us, he's running lead at the moment for us with our youngster Eska there. We're kind of using Poehler because Poehler's six and he's a directional leader. So we're kind of using him to try to teach Eska there the direction commands. Because I would say with Poehler, you kind of tell him once or twice and he'll go the direction you want. Where with a year and a half year old, you got to tell her a few times before she's like, oh yeah, let's kind of focus in and go. So currently he's running lead as well for us.
All right. So we're going to finish this up with Jen. Jen, where are you guys most active on social? I think I checked you guys out on Instagram. Where can folks reach out to you?
Best place would be at Wildland Racing Kennel on Facebook.
On Facebook. Okay. And we'll, guys that are listening, we'll definitely put all those links in the show notes, and we're going to do our best to get a picture of Poehler and Eska so we can post it on Instagram to give those guys a little bit of love, and hopefully everything works out. But otherwise, Greg and Jen, thank you very much for being on the Mushing Podcast. Good luck to you in your upcoming season, and hope to talk soon.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports.
Thank you for
don't
having
miss
us.
out on the latest
Thank
issue,
you.
packed
On
with
behalf of
exclusive
my guests,
interviews with
Jen
top
and Greg
mushers,
today,
in-depth
calling in
articles
from
on
Canada,
sled dog
we will see you
nutrition,
guys next
and
time.
stunning
Goodbye.
photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.